Shuck, a dark legend from the east of England. The moon across the marshes, the lonely Essex marshes, through rotting bones of barges in the mud. The east wind calls the curlew, who pipes his cry the same as when the river ran with Saxon blood. Where Bertnoth, Earl of Essex, 1,000 years before, lost Maldon to the sea wolves, Olaf's Danes, and fell among the dying, the horses of his churls ran riderless, no hands to hold the reins. And nor the island's slaughter was carried by the wind to Tiptree, Totham, Tollesbury, and beyond, when Essex was the front line and Saxons clashed with Danes for forest, field, hanger, creek, and pond. And then, along the causeway, did Shuck come slinking out to snuffle round the bodies of the dead, their shattered swords and shields, their corslets oozing gore, and only ravens circling overhead. For from these misty marshes, the sucking, popping marshes, the dog jumps up and soundlessly goes by, to parish, copse, and crossroad, through churchyard, lane, and field. Then you, or someone close to you, may die. And Shuck, the hound of Odin, the black dog of the fens, who pads across the shadows of the years, will spring out on the traveller with burning ember eyes to haunt the ancient roads where he appears. And as the daylight's fading, when Lammas has come in, and gleaners go to work among the stubble, there comes an autumn sickle to cut the summer's throat before the season knows it is in trouble. And I stop by a gateway to smoke a cigarette and stare across the fields and remember the gypsy fairs of August and early evening haze, the dirty golden mustard of September. The grandson of the ploughman speeds past me down the lane, his children and his shopping in the car, to rush towards tomorrow with other frozen souls who never stop and wonder who they are. Then Shuck will run behind me, and I may not look back, but press on into darkness as I must, as others have before me, and others yet to come, who flower once before they turn to dust. Thank you. Now, here, the dog comes running. He clears a broken wall and disappears behind the shattered stones to court the spinster spirits of long-dead country maids beside the mossy graves and cedar cones. And where they all lay sleeping, the dog lies panting down, the fire of forests burning in his eyes, whilst darkly in the churchyard the silence sets around and time itself dissolves within his guise. He rises from the blackness and races through the lanes to reach the lonely estuary track and sneaks along the seawalls, the saltings and the flats with no one but the wind to call him back. With winter on the marshes, and when the North Sea is grey, as herring gulls wheel inland from the gale, the tide mill creaks high water, the miller fills his lamp, and shivers as the light begins to fail. And in the sleeping hamlets, the cottage lights go on, as fires are lit and headlights rake the drives, the televisions flicker, and microwaves hum low, a supper psalm for Suffolk's working wives. At Orford, Icon, Aldborough, in Blytheborough, Southwold, Snape, they slumber in a thousand years of mist, the Vikings, Saxons, Normans, who came and reigned and died, but left their names or landscapes to the list. The 18th century sailors, on decks of sailing ships, looked out at harbour lights along the coast, then heard the bells of Dunwich ring watery and cold, and crossed themselves as if they'd seen a ghost, when Shuck the dog came running, and poised on shingle sand, looked out with blazing eyes across the foam, then saw the wooden frigates, the cutters and the sloops, but not his master's longships sculling home. At times, the dog comes inland or northwards on his rounds to run the muddy cow tracks of before, the sun-cracked ruts of summer made mire by autumn rains and frozen then in turn by winter hoar. And through the sleepy farmyards, past medieval barns, with broken doors which curtsy and complain, the slates and thatches thinning, their weatherboards bowed out, they loom like drunken giants in the rain. The ragwort chokes the meadow, the couch grass cracks the yard, as nettles spread up through the rusty harrow, the long-departed farmer, gave up his land at last to maidenhair, to willow herb and yarrow. Now, through the ancient hamlets, the dog runs swiftly on, through parishes where people knew his name as Rugasan and Bargest, as Gallytrot or Scarp. It differed, but the fear remained the same. Breaking open country, he meets the coaching road, then northwards into Norfolk under stars. He sees the flashing headlights across the empty fields and hears the busy swish of distant cars. Then coming to the crossroads, it's Gibbet standing there. He stalks the shadow of an earlier time, the highwayman whose corpses stared eyeless at the sky and hung in stinking penance for their crime. Their ragged, dirty breeches and maggot-ridden mouths, the bloated flesh which blackened in the sun, in service as a warning to idle passers-by that life is ended easy as begun. The gibbet creaks obscenely. A shuck slinks knowing by, his yellow stockade teeth bared in a grin. He takes the road to Acle, then out across the broads to half-forgotten villages within. Twinkling through the branches of weeping willow trees, the narrow boats are moored up for the night. He hears the muted laughter and passes by outside, through river mist in broken spears of light. Along the tangled towpath, behind the lock gate pubs, the smell of beer in smoky, stooping halls. The pikes in dusty cases, the hooks and weights and flies, the ancient winter duck guns on their walls. He looms up out of darkness, matte fur and saucer eyes, to scare some tipsy boatman lurching by, and conjure in his victim the old remembered saying, "'Tis Snarleyow, if you see him, you must die."
Thank you.
Then by some lonely windmill, its sweeps and shutters stilled, in wetlands where the railway never came, well shrouded in the sedgeweed, he turns towards the sea and hears a drowning warrior call his name. He sees the wounded wolfcoats arisen from the dead, the Norsemen put to sleep on Saxon swords, the longships limping homewards with half or less their crew and splintered arrows in their clinker boards. And as he tracks the coastline, the tide roars ravening in to bite another crumbling cliff away as farmland, home and pastures come crashing to the sea to melt into its cauldron cold and grey. Past Hempstead, Haysborough, Walcott, through Bacton, Overstrand, which skirt the northern coast to Cromer Town, the skeins of time unravel, the parishes doze on, forgotten as the decades spiral down. As Shuck waits on the shoreline, he hears the migraine drone of foreign warplanes dark against the sky, returning from a mission, one jettisons spare bombs, as if an afterthought on passing by. A house, a street, their gardens, some cemetery trees, lit up in white, subside to orange glow. A local boy on firewatch hears sirens, trucks and bells, and sees a large black dog run by below. A Humber in the blackout crawls slowly through the streets, its passengers uneasy where they are. Then as they reach the crossroads, the dog leaps from a lane and clears the long black bonnet of the car. The driver, taut and shaking, peers fearful through the dark and fumbles in his pocket for a snout, while in the burning back streets, with axes, picks and spades, grim men begin to dig the bodies out. Past Sheringham to Weybourne, along the clifftop path, a windmill silhouetted in the dawn. The dog runs by a railway, as littered in the fields, the poppies glint like blood spots in the corn.
Thank you.
Then melding back to darkness, he vanishes in time to haunted hinterlands which lie between the old Iceni forest, its fenlands and the sea, the hunting grounds of Boudicca, the queen. Again, her Celtic warriors rise wraith-like from the fields, the herdsmen and the farmers who became that vast and vengeful army who broke their Roman chains and put the town of Colchester to flame. The liquor of the centuries drains darkly from its flask and stains the thirsty earth for nothing's sake, as stealthily from shadows the black death sweeps the land, while Shuck is trailing slyly in its wake. Then rumbling to the lich gate, a tumbril full of souls, the remnants of the weaving towns that died. Its dyers and its carders a fodder for a grave, the dog keeps silent company beside. Even as I stand here and watch these autumn fields, a wind may blow up coldly from the coast. And as the twilight darkens and village lights go on, can I be sure it's me who's not the ghost? The veins of distant cities spread out across the land, the sleepless sodium highways of the night. Are you, impatient traveller, so safe from things outside that nothing in the dark can cause you fright? And as the mist that thickens and curls upon the road now draws the night around you like a shroud, is simple superstition what speeds you on your way, so anxious to rejoin the living crowd? For as the season changes, on eerie roads like these, the dog springs up and soundlessly goes by, to parish, copse and crossroad, through churchyard, lane and field, then you, or someone close to you, may die.